You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage and 50,000 others there.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 108. My name is Matt Hall, and as always...
108! Unbelievable.
Yes, brilliant. That's the voice of Jeff Hutton, for those of you that don't know already, which won't be many.
Hello everyone.
Good to have you
two
all back.
Two away from 110.
Yeah, there we go. You're taking over the old number count here from me. Good to have you all back listening to us. Thank you, as always, for your support. We couldn't do this without you. And on that note, we're going to get started with Saturday's visit of Dover Athletic to Hayes Lane. But before the game, Jeff, obviously there was quite a lot going on off the pitch. It was our family fun day.
It was indeed, yeah. Weather sort of stayed on our side, didn't it? It threatened to rain a couple of times, but no, great turnout before the game, Matt. It was great to see everybody up there. Like you say, the police popped in beforehand, which was brilliant. And as I say, we had three or four inflatables up there, raised some money for the trust in the meantime. And no, it was really, really good fun. JPL, we had the JPL Youth Academy finals going on. And obviously, Omar and Louis Dennis joined us up there, Matt, with the autograph cards. A lot of the, who were the two teams we had? Orpington
and Coney Hall.
That was brilliant. It was great to see them up there. They got to meet the players and get some of the signatures before the game. Obviously, that happened at the end of the game as well. But yeah, that was fantastic. The game itself, Matt, it was a bit of a flat afternoon, really, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, Dover themselves already relegated, and unfortunately for us, the playoffs out of reach. It was two teams.
It was four goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were four goals.
I suppose entertaining if you're a neutral.
Yeah, but... I think the manager, Andy Woodman, made a comment about it feeling like a pre-season friendly, and I think that's a fair point, actually. Bromley did take the lead in the first half through Chris Bush, and Dover equalised in the second half. Danny Collins with a header. Just as it went into injury time, on the stroke of injury time, Corey Whiteley put Bromley back in front, and most of us thought that would be that. But unfortunately, Dover had other ideas, and really frustratingly, deep into, I think it was 5 minutes of injury time, Danny Collins again with a header, this time from a corner, with another equaliser for Dover.
It felt it was coming, though.
Yes, I think it was. Dover actually, to be fair to them, played some good stuff. Michael Giassi up front was really effective.
I really liked him.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Ellery had to pull off a couple of really good saves.
I think his granddad was down in the home fans, believe it or not, in this corner near Broomfield. There were two gentlemen that really cheered him on, and he came over at the end to give him a hug and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, like you say.
He was very impressive. But obviously Dover claiming a point, coming back twice to have a share of the spoils on the day. It wasn't to be for Bromley.
Long old season for them.
Frustrating one. Yeah, it is. And I think we made the comment during the commentary, fair play to the fans that made the journey. It's not that far to come, but when your team has... been getting really poor results all season, and you're staring relegation in the face from minute one. It's tough to keep going, but yeah, fair play to the Dover fans that made the journey, and of course a big thank you to all the Bromley fans that came down to support as well.
Much better news on the Sunday for Bromley women.
Absolutely amazing. They were crowned champions of the Premier Division due to other results going their way. And actually, you'll have a chance to celebrate with the team on Sunday, but we'll cover more of that later on. Unfortunately, not as good an afternoon for the under-14 girls. A massive achievement to get to the final at the Gallagher Stadium. Unfortunately, they lost out 3-0 to Kent.
And fair play,
United.
The women's team were down there watching them and cheering
them
on as
were.
Well.
What an amazing community club. The ladies' first team going down to support the under-14 girls at Maidstone. And just unfortunate on the day they lost out. But
obviously,
a great achievement.
100%. The same day, Matt, the under-15s. We've been hearing a lot about them. Obviously, they'd already won... two of the cups, is that right?
Yeah, they have. They made it a treble after winning the league. That's added to a county cup and a league cup. So a massive success this season for the under-15s managed by Michael Pay. So congratulations to all of them. And actually, Jeff, you mentioned that they're actually playing on the stadium pitch prior to the Bromley ladies game on Sunday. That kicks off at
10:30, I believe. Yeah, it should be a great Sunday, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Some brilliant football on show at Hayes Lane. So very best of luck to them. And that takes us up to the supporters board, Jeff.
Yeah, we've sort of touched on it in the past few episodes, Matt, and obviously with the previous fans forums, etc. But no, absolutely great. We've got 20 fantastic fan volunteers together to help set up this inaugural board, as it were. And yeah, it's been an ongoing process since that fans forum, the first fans forum back in October. And yeah, I feel we've done a really good job getting a mix of Bromley supporters together, male, female, young, I'm going to say experienced rather than older. And yeah, I'm really, really keen to see where this will go. There's no gimmicks, no quick wins. This will be, you know, it'll be a slow process potentially, but it's definitely going to be one that's both going to benefit the club, I think, and benefit supporters. And like I say, just continued two-way engagement on a much more regular basis. I'm really excited to see what some of the outcomes will be, Matt. And I know you've had a chance to catch up with Mash. You know, the supporters board have elected their chairman, vice chairman, a secretary, and a treasurer. And yeah, I'm really, really excited to see where it goes. We meet again on Monday, and I know the message has gone out on the website and that, and supporters are able to submit their comments to the board already. But like I say, give them time, show them patience. I'm sure they'll take aboard absolutely everything that gets sent their way from supporters. Just really looking forward to seeing how this process develops and what some of the outcomes can be, both for the club and for supporters.
Jeff, you mentioned Mash Hewitt there. He's the chairman of the supporters board, and I caught up with him earlier this week. Here's what he had to say.
Okay, on this week's episode of Ravens Weekly, we're delighted to be joined by Mash Hewitt. Mash, thanks for taking the time out to join us. We're going to talk to you tonight about the supporters board. Obviously, it's been formed, group of 20 supporters. Jeff has been heavily involved from the club side, but it is an independent thing, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. I think going back, maybe 6 months, maybe a bit longer, the club had put out the kind of request to develop the supporters arm of the football club, so to speak. And I think there needed to be that bridge between what we, and I say we definitely as supporters, what we feel about things that are going on around the football club and off the field in particular, and the club. Because I think sometimes in football, ultimately, everybody, the fans, the manager, the chairman, etc., everybody wants what's best for Bromley Football Club, but we don't sometimes align, and not because out of spite or out of people deliberately looking not to align, but conversations just don't take place. So through Jeff, the club had kind of put out that request to create a supporters board, and essentially somewhere between 20 to 25 volunteers initially put their name forward, and we've managed to kind of narrow it down now to a core group of 20, and had our kind of internal vote to decide all the various different positions, and we've had our first initial meeting as well, and we're looking to push on now and take the notion of a supporters board a step forward. But as you say, Matt, it's very much an independent venture. We thank Jeff Hutton for all of his help with providing the facilities, with providing the kind of technical know-how in terms of setting up like a contact form and all of that. But I think from this point onwards now, the supporters board very much works independently to the club, but of course communicating and liaising with the club from what the supporters themselves come to us with in terms of ideas that the club may or may not have heard otherwise.
And I was just going to say, touching on that point there, Mash, it's not just the views and opinions of these 20 people that are involved, it is the entire fan base, isn't it?
Most definitely. This isn't about what I, Michelle Hewitt, or other individuals within the supporters board want to see happen. But I mean, by all means, the 20 of us on there, we are supporters in our own right, and we're stretching from people who have been watching Bromley since the 50s all the way through to people who have started watching Bromley in the last 5 years or so. And I actually, Matt, I think that's fantastic that we've got such a wide range of the supporter base, because Bromley has its history, kind of its far history and its recent history, but everybody's view is valid. And we just provide what I would say a sounding board for everybody else within the fan base. So for those who are listening to this possibly and haven't yet heard about the supporters board, if you go on the main website and you subscribe to the Bromley, the newsletter that the club sends out every week, the details have been sent out about the supporters board in terms of how you can have your voice heard. And it's literally as simple as clicking a link and filling filling in the form, and that will go through to our secretary, who will obviously see the views that fans put forward. But and of course, because the pictures are out there, you can of course catch us in the ground as well, and we can make sure that we direct you to the right means to put your viewpoints forward.
And you've had a few meetings already, as you touched on. How have they been?
Yeah, really good. I mean, what was really interesting is that, in particular, in that first meeting, it shows how diverse and varied the Bromley fan base is, because and everybody will say this who's on this initial board, we don't all know each other. So actually, believe it or not, Matt, the first meet was very much kind of like one of those icebreaker things where it's like, well, hi, my name's this, I've been going to Bromley for X amount of time, and so on and so forth. But as I kind of alluded to earlier, that's brilliant. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see a supporters board come from a narrow subsection of the fan base. So we kind of all got that kind of those icebreakers out of the way, introduced who we are. We kind of set down the kind of constitution, like a draft constitution, as to how the supporters board will work. We've set up the, as I said, through Jeff, the kind of technical help to set up a contact form, an email address for the supporters to reach, etc. And then I guess now the kind of meetings going forward from this point on are now about hearing those views. I think we had to get kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Housekeeping out of the way first. Like, how are we going to operate this? And now it's about looking at the different views that supporters have. Now, I should stress, Matt, that anyone listening to this on the podcast, do get your views across. This isn't, like I say, this isn't about you not feeling like you can't say what you want to say. This is about bridging the gap between the supporters and the club, and just opening up adequate lines of communication.
Mash, thanks so much for your time. Great to hear from you.
Much appreciated, Matt. Thank you.
No, it's good to hear from Mash there, Matt. And for supporters who obviously want to submit their thoughts, etc., there is a form on the website. Alternatively, you can email supportersboard@bromleyfc.co.uk.
We've got a day-by-day account of things going on in the last week here at Hayes Lane. We're moving on to Tuesday now, and to start with some squad news, Connor Parsons was recalled by Wycombe Wanderers. Obviously, everybody at Bromley Football Club would like to thank Connor for his service to the football club. Jeff, I wasn't there, but I know you had the pleasure of seeing his goal against Weymouth, which was it was quite a strike, wasn't it?
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic talent there, and we wish him all the very best in his future endeavours. And it's worth noting actually as well that even if Connor wasn't recalled to Wycombe Wanderers, he wouldn't have been eligible to play in the FA Trophy final, having featured for Notts County in the competition in a previous loan spell earlier this season, so he was cup tied. But yes, recalled he is. Best of luck to him, a top guy and a great player, and a really good talent. I'm sure we'll see him go very far in the game. We also had our usual after-school clubs, Oak Lodge and Unicorn, primary schools located in the Bromley Borough.
I thought we were actually part of them.
Well, to be fair, I did go to the Oak Lodge ones. It was great to see all the kids with the Wembley scarves, really getting in the Wembley spirit. I saw some of you.
The old We Are Loud, We Are Proud.
Yeah, I'm sure
brilliant.
You have seen the videos. We Are Loud, We Are Proud, We Are Bromley.
Even some of the teachers were getting involved, weren't they?
Yeah.
Saw them in the car park swinging their flags around.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, it was fantastic. The coaches were getting right in the spirit as well. So really, really great to see. And the buzz really is building up around the community, isn't it? So absolutely fantastic. And we'd like to thank our friends at Oak Lodge and Unicorn Primary Schools as we have recently embarked on an exciting new adventure of all these after school clubs that we're doing. And it's great to be getting into the schools and providing that support.
And obviously, Matt, it was then straight back here for our final game of the season.
It was back here for our final home fixture.
Home game of the season, sorry.
Final home fixture. And it was, as you said, Jeff, earlier, a rearranged game that would previously have meant, had it taken place on the correct date, we would have had Dover Athletic as our final opposition at Hayes Lane. It was Altrincham on the Tuesday. It was good to see Omar Shomi and Louis Dennis return from injury, and Harry Forster starting his first match.
Great photo, wasn't it? Both coming off the bench.
Yes, I saw that. Brilliant. It's great to have them back. And obviously, Harry coming back into the starting lineup and playing really, really well, actually. What a great asset he'll be for the team in the final couple of games. It was a one-all draw, unfortunately, for Bromley. A late equaliser from Altrincham. But here's how it all went down on the night.
And finds the feet of Chris Bush, who plays a long ball forward, headed away but not convincingly by Altrincham. Bloomfield with the effort from distance, and it's into the back of the net.
Great
it's
goal.
A brilliant volley from Mason Bloomfield, who scores his first goal in Bromley colours, and goal just couldn't keep that one out. It nestles in the bottom corner, and Mason Bloomfield puts Bromley ahead tonight.
Nottingham still looking to come forwards. Ball into the box there. Finds Mooney. Mooney with the effort across the face of goal and into the bottom corner. And Dan Mooney has an equaliser here for Nottingham. And we did say it, the longer the game went on, the more they'd grow into it and the more they'd sense these opportunities. And it's Mooney with a great finish to equalise.
Yeah, brilliant finish on his left foot across the keeper, into the corner. Brilliant, powerful shot. Same as Bloomfield, left foot across the keeper. And once again, Bromley don't get the second goal.
We've had a bit of filming going on, haven't we, recently at Hayes Lane? And it's the My Club Pro videos, which have taken place with our very own Charlotte Richardson.
Do a little series, aren't they?
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Road to Wembley.
There have been three players that have been interviewed. We've had Kellen Fisher has been one of them. He was the most recent. Ellery Balcom and Joe Partington as well, which was great to see. So thank you to Charlotte and the team for the coverage. You can see these videos on our own socials. They've been shared across there. Or just search My Club Pro on YouTube. And thanks to them again for the coverage.
Matt, obviously Youth Academy, the season starting to come to a close, but the under-16s picking up a fantastic win in the Cup.
Yes, they beat Needham Market by 5-0 to go through to the semi-finals of the National Pathway. Goals from George Penn, Finlay Roberts and a hat-trick from Danai Hassan saw them through on the day. The same team now travel to Macclesfield Town on Saturday on an Anderson Travel Coach, actually, and play a JPL Cup final against Stourbridge. So very best of luck to them.
Absolute massive achievement for them, to be fair. I think they're down there now at the moment, aren't they? Having a little bit of a pre-match. I think they leave now. I think they're leaving today.
It's an overnight, yes.
They're leaving today, overnight, ready for the game tomorrow at Macclesfield.
Fantastic.
Best of luck to everybody involved.
Good luck to them. We've got some really great prospects in our youth ranks here at Bromley.
And then on to Thursday, Matt. Obviously, busy week. Wembley. The players are off to Wembley.
Yeah, the players did their trip to Wembley, which I have memories of last time as well. We played in the FA Trophy final back in 2018. So the players had their little trip up there to get used to the surroundings, have a look around, see the dressing rooms, take a walk on the pitch, take some photos, etc. I believe they also had a meal as a team up at Wembley as well, which is absolutely fantastic. You'll have seen lots of players sharing the photos on their Instagram stories, and there's some videos that the club put out as well, which was brilliant. So, yeah, nice for them to go and get acclimatised to where we'll be going in 9 days' time now.
It is one of those, and I know league form's been awful and everyone's down and in certain areas, but we've still got a Wembley final to look forward to. Yeah. You know, and you've got to pinch yourself twice in 4 years.
Yeah. You know, doesn't happen often, does it?
Absolutely brilliant. And in terms of obviously interviews on the day, Matt, I believe, who have we got coming up?
We've got Marcus Sablett and Andy Woodman, and it was Charlotte that caught up with them.
Marcus, this has got to be dream come true stuff, but at such an early age in your career, the opportunity to come and be a part of the playing squad at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, of course. It's, as a kid, it's what you dream of. So it's like getting all this way and now getting to play, possibly play, is a dream come true.
What's it been like taking a walk around the pitch, going to see the changing rooms as well? It's another level, isn't
it? It's a lot to take in. It's like you always watch games here on TV and stuff, and it's like you dream to be here. So it's just scary sights to be here, to be honest.
Does it make it all feel a lot more real as well? Obviously, you've been involved in this road to Wembley and the games at Dover, all of the teams that we played to get here, and this is your reward for all of that.
Yeah, it's great. Like FA Trophy is just great to be here. Like, the hard work that we've won so many games to get here now, it's like it'll be the dream come true if you just win it all, just take it home.
And you're a Bromley boy, you've come through the academy, you've represented the first team this season. What a way to round off your season.
It will be amazing because I got my opportunity, I took it, I was in the team, I was out of the team, and then just win it here would be mad. It wouldn't feel real, to be honest.
And I bet you just cannot wait now for Sunday the 22nd of May.
Can't wait for next week.
It's dream come true stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, a year ago, I was trying to get in the playoffs. I'd never even considered being a manager here, walking my team out of Wembley. So I'm really proud and honoured and delighted to have the guys here, let's be honest. So it's going to be a nice moment for me and my family and the town of Bromley.
An empty backdrop now, but of course on the day it's going to be filled with Bromley supporters, Wrexham supporters. For non-league football as well, this is a massive occasion, having supporters back here for the first time since 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it? I mean, everything that Wembley gives you is going to be here on that day, and I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's just speechless, doesn't it? It just leaves you speechless. Like, you know, I think when you're here now, when you look around, you think, wow, you know, brilliant. Alan Dunn said to me he's got a telly that size in his front room, so he yet to see it.
And it's ultimately for every single individual here, playing staff and otherwise, this is what all the hard work culminates to, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just thought that, funny enough, you know, when I was walking around and seeing all the young boys that are there getting their pictures, and you kind of sort of go back over it again of, you know, how important that result at Dover was, and then Tunbridge, and everyone here to a man has played their part. So it was important that we all come as a group, and I felt we've got as many of the people here that have, you know, been around us, and sort of this is our way of sort of enjoying it together as I want it to be. I want us to be a family, one family club, and that's reflected a little bit today.
Bring on the 22nd of May, right?
Can't wait.
Great to hear from both the gaffer and Marcus there. Can we just fast forward? I just want to fast forward to the awards evening, and I just want to fast forward to Wembley.
To Wembley, yeah.
I'm not that fussed about Barnet.
No, me neither.
But I can't fast forward that, because Saturday we are off up to the Glades.
Yes, that's right. A few of us and Ronan the Raven as well, keeping us company as always. Off up to the Glades.
Nice little road show.
Yeah, I remember the last road show actually. Again, back in that Wembley season, wasn't it? And what a brilliant event that was. So great to be back in the Glades. Do pop on down and say hello. I think we're there pretty much all day from 9 o'clock. So pop on down and say hi. Ronan the Raven will be there.
Got a little football inflatable up there, haven't we? A bit of Wembley merch, some screens, some flyers. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're in the Bromley area tomorrow, pop on down and say hello.
And then before we know it, Matt, it's going to be Sunday, and there's so much going on Sunday. You're probably going to have to decide where you're going to spend the day. I'm going to spend it at Bromley at Broomfield, if I'm honest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's
given what's going on, Matt. Obviously, it's 10 o'clock first one, or 10:30. Oh, no, it's 10 o'clock. Sorry, Matt. We've got the time wrong earlier.
10 o'clock. So it is 10 o'clock, not 10:30, as we mentioned earlier. That's the under-15s Kent Youth League side who won the treble, as we mentioned earlier.
Taking
on Cray Wanderers. That's it, a derby. So feel free to pop on down for that one. And then at 2 o'clock, it's the Bromley ladies' first game as champions as they take on Comet on the stadium pitch.
And they're going to lift the trophy. They're going to have the trophy, yeah.
Yeah, that's all been picked up now, so there'll be a trophy presentation on Sunday, and what a great season it's been. What a great season it's been for them, and such a proud moment for them all, and for the football club as well. So best of luck to them in the game on Sunday. 3 o'clock obviously sees Bromley make the trip to Barnet in the final National League game of the season, and then it's a quick turnaround, Jeff, isn't it, for the awards evening?
Yeah, back to Broomfields for the awards evening. Hoping for a good turnout. Obviously, details are on the website, etc. Like you say, despite the recent run of form maybe in the league, still some fantastic things to celebrate. I know there's a number of landmark achievements, Matt, players that have made over 100 appearances for the club. We've obviously got the Players of the Year, the Supporters Player of the Season, and Young Player of the Year, etc. So there's a number of awards on the night, and that's both for the men's team and the women's team. So it's going to be great to have both of them happening together as well, Matt. I think that's a real sign of everything becoming a lot more closer and a lot joined up ahead of next season, when hopefully the women's team are playing on the stadium on a much more regular basis on the Sundays, and the Sundays, you know, become just as good and just entertaining as the Saturdays down here for the men's team.
Exciting times indeed, and congratulations once again to the ladies who've had a phenomenal season. Come on down on Sunday and help
them.
They'll
be going again. They'll go in again next season.
Yeah, they will. Celebrate the success
wait.
For now, but they'll be thinking about next season for sure when they're lifting that trophy. One eye on next season.
Honestly, Steve, Dave, Ian, some of the gentlemen behind the scenes at Bromley Ladies have done an amazing job over the years. And it's so great to see them lift the title. Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And well done as well to all of the players who've played a massive part in that, if you pardon the pun. And I think that's it from us this week, Jeff.
Oh, I thought you meant forever.
No, just for this
week. We're almost
week.
There, no? How long have we got left?
just for this week, unfortunately for you, everyone. We're sorry about that. But in all seriousness, thank you to all of you for putting up with us once again this week, and for listening in. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to Jeff.
All right.
There we go. That's us.
Oh, Matt, honestly, I don't know.
Roll on Wembley.
Yeah, 100%. Just get us there.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Baking sunshine, sun beaming down, underdogs going nick it, 1-0, lastminute.com, bang, get the trophy, tour it around the schools.
Lovely.
Get an holiday. Job done.
Well, fantastic. we're going to end on that note. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week.
Come on, Bromley.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.